Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
One more segment on this today. Patrick Clancy conspiracy theories were loud before the trial started. 14 days of live stream testimony later, they've gotten louder, not quieter. TikTok creators are scrutinizing surveillance footage, comparing photos of Patrick's new wife to Lindsay. That's one of my favorites that people are doing. I feel horrible for this family. Oh my God. And building theories out of forensic testimony that no investigator has ever endorsed or has ever even happened. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, with us. As we continue to discuss, and your thoughts in the comments section, people are putting photos of Patrick's new wife. I'm not even going to say her name because I don't want to open up an opportunity for someone to Google her. Showing photos of hers next to Lindsay. They're saying, see, same hair, same build. It's a replacement. And they're treating it as evidence that he planned the whole thing to trade one woman for another. Yeah. What does that actually tell you about someone who is looking at that and going, ha, hole in one. That's what's happening here. Despite there being no evidence to any of that.
I think you need to turn off the TV.
Go touch some grass.
Yeah, go touch some grass.
Or smoke some grass. It might help you too.
It might, anything. It's data picking. I mean, that's all people are doing right now. They're data picking. They're data picking the things that they will then morph into the support. I mean, remember, I mean, how many times do we say it on a show? And for anyone that is thinking these things, I mean, our audience is such a great critical thinking audience. And if you see yourself on the opposite end of that, on this one, I'm not saying you're not critical thinking, because in your own mind, we are. But ask yourself, if you're off of what we're saying and the way we're thinking about this, ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel that way? You know, do a deeper dive on that and ask yourself, am I just seeing things I want to see and I'm picking this to support? Because one thing we keep saying on the show is that as a species, we're great at creating patterns and seeing patterns as a species that aren't there. You know, and so we create patterns. So in other words, if you think Patrick is guilty, the pattern you're going to create are you're going to see this. I'm going to see this. I'm going to see this. I'm going to say that, oh, look, she looks just like Lindsay. He must be guilty. What? It's so far askew I can't even come up with words for it. It's just so far askew of any sort of supportive analysis of the conclusion that you've come up with that you're trying to prove. I mean, just so, like I think you said, if you have a type, you have a type. I mean, or it's not, and to me, I doubt, because again, you look at her background, she's a medical doctor. What was Lindsay? She's a medical professional. She's a labor and delivery nurse. Perhaps he's into people that are service-oriented and caring individuals for others. Perhaps.
Whoa! Killer.
Because you know what? Interesting enough, Patrick's mother was also a labor and delivery nurse. Huh.
Killer.
38 years.
He's a killer.
Huh.
Killer.
You know, and here's an interesting analogy. My son-in-law's mother also is labor and delivery nurse. My daughter, labor and delivery nurse. Isn't that kind of interesting? They all must be guilty.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my. Yeah, I mean, I want to wrestle through some of these things. Lindsay told Patrick after the killings that she heard a man's voice telling her if she didn't act, she would lose her chance. She's testified, or she's told her doctors this. This is coming out in court. This isn't like some sort of conspiracy. She heard a voice. This is the cognitive things that were going on in her brain. Basically, these manifestations. And the conspiracy crowd hasn't said, they're not going down the road of, no, you didn't hear those things. You're just making that up. There are some people who are doing that. They're going down the road of, Patrick was the voice. Patrick was somehow sneakily making her think she was hearing a voice. I don't know quite how you do that. Do you do that like through your devices in your home and like drop in on people like you can do with Alexa? Or how? It's like, wow, this is creative. This is, I haven't heard this one before, of someone faking voices in someone's head. I don't know how you do that, but there's a lot of people believing Patrick was like whispering in her ear and making her believe that there was a voice in her head. There's no evidence that supports that claim whatsoever. But how do you fight? How do you argue with someone on that? Because there is no evidence to support it. And there's also no evidence against it because it's not real.
Well, the first word she says, how do you fight it? You don't fight it. You just let it spin around in circles. And you ask a simple question, show me. That's all. Just show me. So just show me. And if, until you can show me, great. Show me how you can give it to me so I can prove it. Show me how I can prove it. That's all I ask people. It's like, all right, you have a theory. Show me how I can prove it. I tried and I can't. Show me how you can prove that.
But here's how people prove things now. Maybe this is why this works so well. People don't have to go back to evidence to prove anything. They just have to go to a TikTok, from Jill in Akron. And Jill in Akron was talking about it. And Jill in Akron heard this, and Jill in Akron's going to rattle off 40 different unproven facts in the same TikTok video. And that happens to be one of them. So that's how they prove it. That's how they get that false equivalency of proof in their mind that they then run with because somebody else is already talking about it rather than the actual facts. So I don't know what that's called. I'm sure there's a smart word for it, but that's maybe Robin knows it.
Being nutters.
Confirmation bias of some sort that's being based on unsubstantiated information or just flat out lies. Prosecution spent 14 days arguing that Lindsay sent Patrick to the store as part of her plan to get him out of the house. Yep. The conspiracy crowd says Patrick engineered the errand and it is his alibi. Same 25 minutes, totally opposite views. Oh, and by that way, the whole time during that conspiracy, she's calling him, she's calling the store, she's doing all these things, I guess, to play out part of Patrick's conspiracy. Again, just none of it makes sense. I get conspiracy theories that have pieces to them that lend into it going, oh, ooh, that's kind of weird. It doesn't have any of it. None of it lends itself to the conspiracy theory. It's really a lot of forcing this round peg in this triangular hole.
So, I'm sorry, I'm doing my little snicker shuffle right now because typically I'm not paintbrushing because if you're one of these people that think this, I don't want to be insulting if you're a good, healthy human being and you have great relationships in your life. But in general, for people that come up with some wild stuff like that, it's typically because you've done it yourself or you tried to get one over on your spouse and it didn't friggin' work. And so this is why you recognize it is that because you tried it and it didn't work. I mean, so much of these things are projections. Just like COVID really, I thought was an interesting, so many horrendous things happened during COVID, but COVID really highlighted how much secret relationships are going on because all of a sudden you couldn't see your secret relationship. Everyone's in lockdown. So that all those things got highlighted. And so all the behaviors that went behind hiding things became highlighted.
Is that ultimately what's at the core of all of this? At this case so much.
Some of it.
Is that there's a lot of people who've had very, and I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. A lot of people who've had very unhealthy thoughts about A, their children at some point in life, mm-hmm. Or B, their spouse. And the idea of that being exposed, not even directly, but indirectly, that a human being who has children or a spouse or both could be capable of those emotions and feelings. And somebody seeing this being played out in a courtroom in its extreme, when it goes to the absolute worst that it could go to, are people seeing this and going, well, I felt that way one day, never in a state of psychosis, but just sheer emotion, just being a human being, what we are, ups and our downs. And sometimes we feel things that are not healthy and not good, but we can recognize it and go, that's not good. I got to back away from that. Is it flying too close to the sun? And it's part of the mask that we put up and pretend I would never do that. I could never do that. I'm incapable of doing that. But in reality, we're all somewhat capable of doing that. And it's one of those capabilities that nobody wants to admit they have.
You know, I know I've used this comparison numerous times for different cases and different aspects. And that's alcohol use disorder. And here's how I'm going to liken it to this one. People who suffer alcohol use disorder, which I used to call alcoholism, still do in some points, one of the first signs that you might have alcohol use disorder or be an alcoholic is when you start comparing and contrasting everyone else's alcohol use.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, I'm not that bad. So sure. you're constantly seeking these comparisons to say, well, I had those feelings too, but I didn't kill my kids. And so I think a lot of this is the rationalization that I'm okay. I have doubts about myself, but I must be okay because I'm not that bad. And so they're using this case to project all these different aspects of what they think they would have done or they could have done if they were as bad as that. But I'm not as bad as that, so I must be okay. I must not need mental health help. I must not need counseling because I didn't go that bad. Again, is it everyone? No, but I think there's definitely elements of it because you see, never is one case or one situation a blanket, like it's just this or just this. No, there's lots of elements of all these things because human beings are vastly complex. All of us are different, you know, just like all, there's never two snowflakes alike. There's never two human beings alike. And so all the little things that make up the soup of who we are, our genetic goo, is all very different. But I think these are definitely some prevalent things that are coming out that are a lot of these different projections of our own insecurities, of our own comparison contrast to say, well, at least I'm not this bad. I mean, I did it myself. So one thing that people do that are moving through and arrive in a healthy place. That's why I encourage everyone to go back and listen to last Wednesday's episode with Siobhan Scott, our amazing psychotherapist. Because here's Siobhan, her great book, Nightbird, and her other book, talk about she is someone that was unhealthy through life circumstances and context, became self-aware, moved through it, owned the behaviors, not ashamed of it, and became this amazing psychotherapist for others. And so someone who's a healthy place in life has open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. And so those are the type of people that can actually take these things in. They see their place of where they were. I mean, I had those thoughts with my kids. My daughter screaming when she was 2 years old from colic was driving me up a wall. Thank God my wife was the great mother she was because I don't know how she did it. So we all have those moments. And so it's moving through it, owning it, and saying it's okay because you know what? We're not alone. And that's the other thing too. Lindsay was seeking consistently, as shown through the testimony, help, help, help. I need help. Lindsay was open with her communication. She's transparent. And the prosecution keeps saying she wasn't open. No, she might not have felt completely safe with the same people, but she was as open as possible. She's calling her mother-in-law and telling her how she had ideation. She's telling her mom. She's telling her husband. She's telling some of the therapists. She is broadcasting out to the world. She's telling everyone her fears of being addicted to drugs. She got fears of being addicted to alcohol, so she gave up that. So I heard some of those comments yesterday. Well, she's addicted to drugs and alcohol. Where did you get that? Watch the testimony. Listen to the experts. Do your own research. Don't research on TikTok. And just open your mind up and just critically think through it. Play it all out. See what makes sense.
That's interesting. I like your analogy. I've never heard the word alcohol use disorder, honestly. I've heard alcoholism, but that's a new way, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just behind the times.
No, it's pretty recent, last couple of years. Okay. They've moved on from alcohol, the label that's of alcoholism to alcohol use disorder.
Okay. I like that. It's a very good analogy. And you can, you know, insert, you know, any sort of anything. Disorder here. When you see that, or when you see people lashing out, and I'm going to go even beyond like alcohol use disorder, when you see people lashing out in very extreme ways at other people that have nothing to do with their own orbit, but in very unbalanced ways too, in imbalanced than their typical reaction is of other issues or things that you would think would be important to them. When they're going to an extreme in that lashing out, a lot of times it has something to do with themselves. It has a lot to do with something that they believe that, and I'm not saying it is, I mean, obviously murder is, but a lot of times people will be lashing out in very extreme ways at things that they believe are bad, whether it's bad or not. But you see it quite a bit. You see it in politics a lot. You see it in sometimes in religion a lot, or somebody thinking this type of lifestyle is bad or that, and then they go to such an extreme to cover up their own guilt of what they believe is bad, that it comes across as very unbalanced to the rest of the world. And I wonder if that's the alcohol analogy was very close. I also see it kind of like that too, where I'm going to go so extreme over here, but it's really nothing to do with the case. It's more so what's going on in here.
that I have so much shame about.
It's always about what's going inside. I tell people this frequently because when people have moments at work or in their own personal life where, you know, they say, oh, someone treated me really bad. Can you believe they said that to me? I said, no, they didn't say it to you. They're being who they are. You just happen to be in their way that day. You know, you triggered some response in them, some fear, some insecurity, some trauma response, and they're just projecting it onto you. It really had nothing to do with you. They're just being who they are. So you don't. And so here's what we can do as human beings. This is why these cases like this and all these things kind of flow around us. I mean, they can permeate us, and that's why we have each other. But they don't really personally affect me because people aren't reacting to me or to you, they're projecting their own crap. And so that's why this case has been so amazing to watch and be part of, because you're seeing a lot of people in pain.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. There's a lot of people in the world in pain right now, because if there's just think about all the visceral, hugely emotional responses to this, you know, especially on the conspiracy theory side, where people are battling against each other, being nasty to each other. That's not the only place in their life. You really think, so again, just how I do my analysis on thing. Is this person going from the completely calm, healthy person to a million? All of a sudden they're reacting like this? I guarantee you not. And so ask yourself this, if you're one of these people that is viscerally having this amazingly high emotional response to this case, and you're lashing out, you're seeing yourself on X and Facebook and posting these horrendous things, ask yourself this question. Who else am I doing this to on anything else in my life? Because I guarantee you are. Yeah. And ask yourself, what's the effect on the relationships in my life because of this behavior I'm having in all aspects of my life? Because it's not just this case you're doing it on. I guarantee you that. Yeah. And then ask yourself, are you the type of person that people want in their life because of how you're treating them?
Yeah. It's inventory that is healthy to take, and we need to take on a regular basis to maintain ourselves as being healthy individuals, because we all can go down those roads.
Yes.
And it's very easy to do so. Tomorrow, we're going to have another very fascinating conversation with Siobhan Scott about all this, about essentially the culture war that has erupted out of the Lindsay Clancy case. We're going to dive deep into all of these concepts. So be here if you want to participate in that conversation, 11 a.m. Central on Wednesday, tomorrow. Here on the show, it will be August 19th of 26, in case you're watching this 30 years from now. But you can go back and watch it then, the 30-year-old conversation. But it's going to be fascinating, and I certainly welcome you guys to think of your questions you want to bring to Siobhan tomorrow, because we're going to dive deep into that. Fascinating conversation today, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for weighing in. Great dialogue about this case. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We can continue this off the air, and the repeats, we will definitely do that. Hey, today, while you're doing stuff, check out Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. Get it on Amazon or wherever you get books. Audible, you can also get the audiobook version of it as well, and hear the smooth sounds of Robin Dreek reading you.
Isn't that kind of a theme every show? Why, it's not all about me.
Yes, the smooth sounds. We should put, I'll beat mix you to like some Sade or something.
I'll tell you, next time I got to
do remix.
It. If I do another book, I'll either have you or Todd read it, just because you guys have much better radio voices than I do.
No, I listen to
you're
a
great.
Lot. You're playing in my background all the time when I'm
all
listening.
Right, you got
to
some
stuff.
Issues.
And then on Thursday, we're going to examine Tony's disorder of listening to Robin all the time when we're not on the air together.
As you all know, we have a big bromance going on the show. We really do. We do love each other hard.
Your thoughts in the comments. We'll continue it there. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The fight over the Lindsay Clancy case has seemingly split along a lot of gender lines in a way that's hard to explain and really impossible to ignore. On X, men want Lindsay destroyed. On Threads and Instagram, women have decided Patrick is a monster who drove his wife insane on purpose. Siobhan Scott is with us to help us break all of this down as to what the hell is going on here. You had mentioned gender lines earlier in the week when we were talking on email. I've certainly seen it. How gender split do you think this is, Siobhan, in terms of people's reactions? Because honestly, I've seen it. I've seen a pretty even mix of hating her or hating him from both men and women. But maybe that's just the perspective of what I've been catching.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly have seen a lot of the live court shows. You know, mm-hmm. I watch the feed over on yeah. the side, and there are a lot of women who are going after Lindsay as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, you know, cannot imagine that they would ever kill their children. And mm-hmm. so there's just that lack of insight into what psychosis is, because in truth, if any of us became psychotic, we could do horrendous things. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to imagine that, because that's just beyond their comprehension to understand. But there is this split where I see more women, particularly on Threads. Oh my gosh, it just makes me sick. And I don't even follow it often, but every once in a while somebody will point, oh, you've got to look at this thread. And I go, okay. And I look, and then I'm just like, oh my God, I'm sick from it. I think it really is this, I have been wounded by a narcissistic man. Mm-hmm. And this is my funnel. This is where I'm going to channel that rage. You know, I'm taking my story and putting it onto this story. And then there's, you know, on X, again, which I don't follow, but other people point things out to me. And it's just amazing, the misogyny. And I think it's the hatred toward women. Yeah. And it's, I mean, the violence that they talk about. I see that more with men wanting her tortured. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the way the incels talk about how they want women tortured. I mean, there's a sadistic quality to it. So it's psychologically really disturbing to read these things.
Is there an element here to this? The society has a lovely way of looking at families and people and situations, especially celebrities. And these are obviously not celebrities, but they were a family that on the outside looking in, you know, seemed to be, you know, they had their issues, as anyone does. This is the third time she was going through postpartum and went into psychosis on this one. But three kids, you know, seemingly, you know, nice looking family, fair, you know, successful, living a life. Everything seemed to be good. Is there an element to this where it's like that with celebrities? When something goes wrong, people are really quick to like, yeah, tear them down. Mm-hmm. Are they looking at this of like, this was a pretty decent family, and then this went wrong, and it's just like, destroy that. They do, you know, because of people's own unhappiness, because of people's own bad choices and their own plights in life where things didn't work out, that I want to tear this one down too. Mm-hmm. Again, because despite the evidence, there isn't evidence of Patrick being this narcissistic monster. Yeah. Like, people can find a few things where maybe he dropped the ball. Sure. So does everyone. So did she. So did, like, that's fucking human beings. But there's not a pattern of narcissistic behavior in him. Mm-hmm. Why? Why are people doing that? I mean, is that why it is? It was a happy, successful marriage, and it went wrong, so it started a blaze. Now let's pour some gas on it?
Yeah, I think that's a good supposition. Again, people who are driven by their own emotions that they're not aware of, right? Because a lot of this emotional stuff is unconscious, and there's this sense of the rage and the pleasure with, you know, gee, there's something I don't have, and look at this, they don't have it either. And people, you know, people blend all this stuff together, and you just get the kind of crazy things that we're seeing.
If Patrick were a narcissist, if he were this monstrous person that they're making out him to be, do you think he'd be sitting in that courtroom standing up for her? Do you think he'd be, or would he be on the defense, on the prosecution side going, yeah, crazy bitch, horrible to the kids, did all that, and looking like the hero?
Yeah.
Narcissists are grandiose. They want to be the hero in this situation. This does not make him the hero in this situation. And he's taking it on the jaw as he goes and lives. That's not a narcissist.
No.
It's like it's the exact opposite of one, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have focused on his own actions.
Yes.
And the one thing I also wanted to, so Stacey said, we don't often see what happens behind closed doors. You're right. We don't see behind those closed doors, but here's what we do see. For 22 years, over 22 years with the FBI, I saw behind closed doors because when I had investigations, I had what we're seeing in testimony here. You know, I saw text messages, I saw internet drive, I saw secret place. And when you have that amount of time of seeing secret place behind closed doors, and then you can see behaviors that become congruent with over a period of time through a lot of reps, you then get really, really attuned to seeing the outward presentation of leakage and seeing if that presents what's going on behind closed doors. Now, it's never 100% conclusive, but you see that kind of leakage over periods of time. When we're talking cases like this, we're talking life arcs of everyone involved in his family. I can tell you, there's no massive grouping of secret place. Are there pockets of shame, of wrongdoing, of something you didn't want someone to see or something? Yes, like all human beings. Minor things like this. There is no major gap or wobble from any leakage from absolutely anyone involved in Lindsay's family. That's why, you know, the divide, I was looking for the divide, not on gender, Siobhan. I've been looking at it from background. And so predominantly clinicians, researchers, investigators, when it comes to the human condition, they're the ones that are siding on Lindsay. It's the just the facts, ma'am, side, like the law enforcement side, the hard profiling side, not behaviors, but just, you know, the criminal side. They're the ones that are going hard against her because they just see actions. They don't see what causes those actions. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm seeing the divide. And yeah, gender plays in as well. But again, you can't see exactly behind the closed doors, but I'll tell you what, leakage tells you a lot. Leakage. That's why we look at everyone in here.
Everybody that knew her, everybody that knew them as a couple, all the family members. Yeah, nobody is questioning that she was a wonderful mother and Patrick is a great guy. And yeah, there would be leakage.
Co-workers somewhere. For 15 years, yes. Describing what she's like in tears as she's giving birth as a labor and delivery nurse every single time because she said, I can't believe this miracle of life that just happened in front of me. That's what co-workers are saying about her.
Yeah.
And so these little things. And even now, I'm watching her co-worker from all these years, her other labor and delivery nurse, who said she's still in touch with Lindsay today. After all these horrendous things that she did do, she did all these horrendous things. I picked up as she's walking out of the courtroom, she looked at Lindsay and gave her a little nod.
Mm-hmm.
As she's walking out, like, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Who would be if there's any sort of nefarious things going along, either with her or Patrick or anything else?
Yeah, very, very true.
I don't want to
walk
too long on it.
No, that's true. The other point I wanted to make, this whole thing that Patrick was a narcissist, if he did this, he would be a lot more than a narcissist. He would be a sadistic psychopath.
Yes. Yes.
Sadistic.
Fair point.
And there's certainly no evidence that man is a hidden sadist. I mean, it's
which
just
makes it even crazier because we're talking about someone who went into a state of psychosis, her. And yes, that's the thing. If you're gonna put all this on to Patrick, he'd be a madman. I mean, would be a Ted Bundy level character.
Yeah.
You know, if this were who he is. I mean, what do you say to people like this? I mean, we got, you know, Sandra Lee here, narcissists excel at concealing their ways. Yes, they do. Some do. Covert narcissists do. Some are extremely grandiose and are pretty fucking in your face too, by the way. It all depends on the type of narcissist you're dealing with. And I'm sorry, Sandra, that I'm sure you were burned and very hurt by a narcissist at some point in your life, but it's time to educate yourself on narcissism and the very different types of it that there are. And not every person that comes across your screen or your life is your ex. It's a healthy thing to learn that little factoid. It's not always easy to do. He did not stand up for her. He forgave her for killing his fucking kids. What do you mean he didn't stand up for her? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If you don't think he stood up for her, then you're not watching the same fucking case. Mm-hmm. Wrong. That will be a breadcrumb. Anyone to give the appearances they're caring people. So even though she's wrong and all that shit, it's breadcrumbs. It's this. It's that. There's always something that's leading them to believe that he's this other character that he's not. How do you, if this person comes into your office for a session and says, "Here's what I'm thinking."
acting leaks over time. That's
how
why
the hell do you, how do you get through to that?
There's no acting. You can't act this much over time. We said it yesterday. No. Yeah, she would get 5 Oscars, you know, and him too. And so if you're assessing, because this, again, we all have this, you know, you, Siobhan, even more than me, I did it 22, you did it 35 and counting. The leakage of actors is so prevalent over time. So yes, people can put a mask on for a show for a short period of time.
For a short period of time. Yeah.
But it can't unless maintain, you're a psychopath.
But psychopathy comes out and it manifests different ways as well. Yeah. Right. And that also comes out where there's unhealthy. So psychopathy can mirror and match a lot of people for periods of time for manipulation. But what happens is there's no real relationships. Things go sideways in those relationships. And so that's the leakage that comes out. People actually don't bond. So just look at the psychopaths we've covered. Lori Daybell Vallow, Corey Richens, all these people, take their acts aside. Did anyone stand with them? No, they had no relationships with people to stand with them except a few other nutters in their cults. So that's why all the leakage that happens over periods of time says, no, there's no narcissism going on here. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Randy.
I think there's a lot of narcissism going on with the projection people out there, quite honestly, that they're not seeing past their own shit. Because really what we have here, I mean, you have one group, and if we're to look at the bigger pieces of the pie, you have a lot of men that are just skipping past the illness, a lot of women that are skipping past the act. Neither side is looking at the whole picture because the whole picture doesn't let them feel what they came to feel. And then you have people that are seem to be agreeing on this one, on the conspiracy camps. The fact that Patrick remarried in April of 2026, that fact then became proof of guilt for both sides. This is what they agree on. The men say, you know, a real father wouldn't move on. And the women say he clearly never loved her. Mm-hmm. Why does grief that doesn't look right to strangers automatically become evidence?
It just goes back to, I think, that confirmation bias. They've got an opinion, and then they're going to interpret every bit of information, every fact, to fit the emotional stand that they've taken. And so it absolutely doesn't matter. I saw one person on Threads saying, "Oh, but we know she didn't do it because she's pled not guilty." Okay. They don't understand how it works, right?
It's
she's already stipulated and acknowledged that she did it. You know, that's a fact. But the not guilty plea has to do with because of reason of insanity here. And people don't bother to even pay attention to basic facts because it's this cognitive distortion based upon their emotional response.
You know, the fact that this is all playing out on screens and on text messages and message boards and comment sections, the way that it does now in our world. I mean, this is a relatively new concept. We didn't have a world like this 15 years ago, 20 years ago. We didn't really have it quite like this 10 years ago. I mean, it's ever evolving and ever changing. These sort of conversations, misinformed conversations, misguided understandings of cases used to just happened, you know, at the coffee shop or amongst friends on a phone call or whatever, in private small groups where everybody could, well, did you hear this? And men, women, whatever. I'm not making it a sex thing. But that's how those sort of things went. I remember those days, and I remember many a times, if you get a whiff of some of those conversations, you're like, wow, they're not even understanding the reality of this. But it just keep leveling each other up on their emotional scale. That's where it used to live. Now it lives on forums. Now it lives in the comments section. I mean, is this really all that new? People being just so misinformed and misguided and misunderstanding over facts and then developing opinions? Because I don't think it is. It's just we now have a way to see behind the curtain in ways that we never have in the past.
And I think the amplification of the crazy theories, you know, people might have had an opinion before, talked about it at the coffee shop, but they didn't have 100 other people, you know, cheering them on or 1,000 other people cheering them on and saying, and here's more proof and here's more proof and here's more proof. So it just keeps that amygdala rage going all the time. And then they can stay up all night watching it. And I get the sense that some people are doing that. And that's where the rage addiction comes in. And they get increasingly non-rational.
Yeah, and then people get caught up in the cult of comparison. They do the one-upsmanship. So someone comes up with one crazy theory in what I think is a majority. We talk about living in our own context, you know, of it being a rainstorm, but right over here there's pure sunshine. So you have, say you have a group of five people. Within that group of five people, and you're constantly going back and forth on X or any other social media platform, you all of a sudden feel like you're a majority because you get that echo chamber going. And then you start playing that game of one-upsmanship where you're trying to be a little bit better than Bob I just talked to, or a little bit better than Jane over here. So I got another crazy theory going, oh, did you see him? He made a micro expression with an eyebrow raise during that testimony. Holy fuck, he's guilty. You know, and then they start putting it out and say, oh, wait, I saw that too. Did you see this? And blah, 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 blah. You know, so yeah. that cult of five turns into a cult of 10 and they get an echo chamber. The algorithms start taking hold of it and so it's propagating it out as truth. That's how this craziness happened. So yeah, Tony, to your point, I agree, it all has existed as a species. It hasn't just evolved in the last 10 years. It's just been given the platform of stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which allows us to further stupidity with those platforms.
Stupid eyes.
It's two options. We can either be far more informed, and many of us are choosing to use it for that, to, oh, I don't understand this concept. Let me educate myself. I can do it like that now.
Yes.
I don't have to take a class. I don't have to talk to this person. I don't have to read a book. I can speak it aloud even now, and the devices in my home will inform me of the facts to which I wish to learn. But we don't even do that. Mm-hmm. We go, well, what does Susie in Omaha think? I'm going to go with that.
I'll join that cult.
Her cat told me this. And men are the same way. And to the asshole who said every dumb broad who defends Lindsay, just shut the fuck up. You are speaking just as stupid as what you're saying right now by expressing it that way. How tribalistic women can be. How fucking tribalistic are you being by calling women that dipshit? He can
Boy,
fuck
that,
off.
That's leakage, isn't it? That's
little
that
bit.
Attitude about women right there.
He
yeah.
can fuck the right off. I mean, I'm not going to.
Watching
it's
Tony's
funny. People try to make
watching
points.
Watching Tony's amygdala going.
People try to make their points by leaking out their shit at the same time. It's just like, shut the fuck up. Leave. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, unless you're going to say something like that, then you can fuck the right off. I'm sorry. This is how I roll here.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get More and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.